Chris and I were at the Arizona Pigeon Club show that we just had down in Apache Junction, Arizona. We took our little microphone out there, and Chris had the idea of talking with some different members of the Pigeon Club and get some thoughts and insights from some of our club members here and give some good ideas to people who are kind of on the fence about joining a club in your area and hopefully drive you to get into it. It's a lot of fun being part of a club, and we got some good tips from some guys on why they enjoy
It wasn't just a show, it was a swap and sell.
That's right. That's right.
Everybody brought pigeons. Must have been 100 of them.
There's a lot of
That's my
birds.
guess. Anyway,
There's a lot of
everybody brought
birds.
pigeons to sell, buy, sell, and trade, and some of them got given away. Some of them got turned loose when the end of the day was over, but
That's
don't
right.
worry, they flew back to the guy's loft, so it was all good.
Yep. Any
But
homers that don't sell get turned loose. Young kids that are coming into it, juniors always give those guys a couple of good birds to get them started off with. That's always healthy for the hobby.
for sure. All right. So now you want me to play this or what?
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a listen to the interviews that we're doing here.
Yeah.
Right, so we're here with Christian Vita from Foul Play. He's selling nest boxes, medicines, all kinds of stuff. Why don't you tell us what you got going on?
Thanks for having me on, man. Well, we're out here in Arizona, out in Apache Junction, and we are having a great time out at the show. I'm out here selling all the nest boxes, coops, carriers, and prevention is key, guys. I'm out here selling Filipino meds. So if you guys need anything, Instagram and Facebook, I'm out there. This is a great show, guys. Lots of turnout, lots of great people out here.
Why don't you tell us how many pigeons you have?
I actually don't have any pigeons at the moment. I don't even actually have any chickens anymore. I'm just in it for, I guess, for the love of money, baby, like anybody, for the carriers and everything else. But I've always had birds when I was a kid, and I'm still passionate about it. Just I'm getting back into it right now.
Right on. And you're a club member of the Arizona Pigeon Club.
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
Arizona Pigeon Club represent. Best club out there right now in Arizona.
That's right. And you don't have to have pigeons to support the club.
No, if you love your friends and family, support them in any way you can.
Yeah, that's right. Support all pigeon clubs.
What's the question before you put me on the spot?
It's already recording, bro.
Oh no, okay.
We're here at the Arizona Pigeon Club talking to some of the different club members here. Got Steven Eck here with us. He's a club member. And what do you like best about being in a pigeon club, Steve?
I like the resources and the information that people have over years and years of experience that they've acquired from other breeders, other pigeon fanciers, and just the shared interests that we have. So it's easy to converse with people and talk about something you really enjoy for whatever reason, if you're a racer or a fancy pigeon breeder or whatnot. We all have a love for the birds, so it's fun just to meet with people too. And then you also at swap and sales like this, you find some birds that you want. Something I know my kids like white birds, so we got four more white birds coming home with us today.
Nice. Yeah, with being in a club, you got everybody as a mentor.
Yep.
All that experience is at your hands. So yeah,
It'd be
that's a great
interesting one
way.
day to add up the years of experience. I know I haven't been in that long, but just go through and add up, how long
Total.
Bob's been in, how
Yeah.
long all these people have been in, total up the number of years and just see, maybe do a raffle, have people guess how many years do you think combined the club members
Yeah, some of these
experience they
guys
have.
are lifers.
Yeah.
Some of these guys are
Yep.
lifers. They're bringing in some serious stuff. Yeah, and it's pigeon talk too. Right now we're off to the side, but there's a whole group of people out here. Everyone's talking pigeons around the birds and everything else. And that's a quick way to ask somebody questions if you're having issues or just curious about a breed, even too.
Yeah, it's good to see more young people because I
Yeah.
know I have a bunch of kids and I know my daughter's into the birds, and that's what got me into it was her interest in it. Doing some history lessons on World War I and stuff like that. And so she got me into, yeah, Share Me
Share me,
and my shirt here with
yep.
the spy pigeon.
Yep, the spy
So,
pigeon, yeah. Birds are real though, people. They are not robots.
right? They don't recharge on power lines.
That's right. Yeah, because these birds aren't even on power lines and they look to be operating at full efficiency right now. They're in cages and doing fine, so Very cool. All right. Thank you, Steve.
All right.
All right. So we're here with Ray Pizzuto. He is the vice president of the Arizona Pigeon Club. Ray, what can you say to people about what are the benefits of being in your club wherever you are?
Well, it's a good way to meet a lot of interesting people. I've been in birds since I was young, and I got friends in many states. I've traveled to shows all over, mostly the Southwest, and I've judged a number of shows. I've got friends I've met online, and they'll travel to the show in California to the pageant. That's such a big show. Facebook friends with some of them that are in Kuwait. It's a great hobby. And now with Facebook, you can follow up on your friends just by getting on Facebook. People will post pictures. They'll say a little bit about their birds, and then you can join in and comment. And it's a great hobby. You know, people say they don't have the time, but everybody has a little bit of time, and you can squeeze it in, because if you don't make time for a hobby, then it's all about work and raising the kids and all that, and you need a little bit of an outlet.
Yeah, that's like Bob, when we talked to Bob Nolan, he was talking about the benefit that he enjoys going to shows because he gets to see all the pigeon friends that he's made over the years, and you know, you get to kind of catch up with everybody again.
Oh yeah, that part of it's great. I've been in it so long, I've seen, known a lot of these people are amongst my oldest friends. I've known them for decades. And I look forward, just like you said, seeing them each year, catching up on what's new. It's a unique group of people. You know, and if it isn't pigeons, some type of group like this, you know, whether you're raising dogs, horses, pigeons, turtles, I recommend, you know, everybody get into some type of specialty group that, you know, that interests them. And you know, now, you know, when Vinny was younger, he'd tag along with me, and now here he is, you know, he's judging shows. People know him more than they know me because he makes a lot of friends.
We were talking about that before. At first I said, I thought that was pretty unique that like you and Vinny were both judges, and then you started pointing out that it's a lot of this generational stuff where parents bring their kids and then their kids get really active in the club, and it's not that uncommon.
No, I know maybe five or six different groups of father and sons, and you can only hope for it. I mean, you know, you can't put too much pressure on your kids. When they're little, they all like the pets you have, and then when they get older, they do things that they want to do, but this has been a great thing for, you know, father and son.
Yeah.
We travel the shows. We know a lot of the same people. You know, it's not always, we don't always see eye to eye on stuff, but you know, that's on everything.
Yeah, you know, that's nature.
That's nature, but you know, the good times are good.
Yeah.
And it's nice having it. You know, I'm not a rich man, but I have a chauffeur and my son, so we go to shows. You know, like today, we come up here, we hauled the trailer. So we had a lot of birds and a lot of carriers.
Yeah.
And Vinny does the driving, and he's excellent at backing up and moving the trailer. Okay. I'm not so good, but nice. He is. And yeah, just the countless people we've met over the years.
Cool. All righty. Well, thank you, Ray. I'm getting called over here.
Okay.
I don't know anything about pigeons. We're with Jonathan at the Arizona Pigeon Club swap and sell here in Apache Junction, Arizona.
How's it going?
It's going. Phil talked me into this, so we're gonna do it. What do you come here for, Jonathan?
Okay, so I'm a falconer, so okay. I fly peregrine falcons and geo-peregrine hybrids.
Okay.
And that gets you into pigeons because you need really good flying, strong homers to fly under your falcons.
Do you do like falcon trials with them, or are you just...
We hunt with them, but the young birds, we're training with the pigeons. So you're training the bird to get up as high as it can, you know, ideally 1,000 feet if you can get them up that high. And then when they're in position right under you, you got to pop game for them, and the game is a racing homer.
Okay.
And but you don't want your homer.
And there it is.
That was that.
Nice. And I feel like we need to say right here, guys, you know, we to all you listeners out there that are, oh man, there's a falconer there buying pigeons at the pigeon show. You know what? I don't know if you can hear the background of Chris right now, but I hear those sound like your budgies. You know.
Yeah, there's three different types of birds back there right now.
Three different types. Then that's to the point. We're all bird people here, guys. You know, let's keep that in mind. And even these guys who are flying falcons, you know what? They'll get hit by birds of prey too. There's always a bigger bird of prey. There's a lot of people in different pigeon clubs. There's a lot of people on our Facebook group that are falconers. We're all just bird people here, you know. And like he says, he's just trying to train his birds. A lot of these falconers, when we were talking, I think it was Jack Bowman, he was talking about they train their birds not to go after pigeons, because if they go after a pigeon and that pigeon flies 20 miles, they're going to lose their bird of prey. So they want to show these birds right off the bat that this isn't something, you know, they have other things that they train them to go after. And this is one of those things, like he says, he wants that pigeon to outrun them.
I just wanted to point out that the boys over there, Vinny and his old man, they pull around a trailer to these shows. Oof. That's how many birds they showed up with, right?
They brought a lot of birds, a lot of Modinas.
Or are they just, they're not camping out in that trailer. They're hauling birds. That's serious, man. Yes. I showed up in a hatchback, you know, with a bunch of little milk crates full of birds, and these guys roll up with these big bowling ball sized pigeons. They're so big, they got to have a whole trailer for it. Just saying.
How many birds did you take to that show, Chris?
I could have carried them all in one hand.
Okay. Did you come back with any?
Seven. Oh God, I don't want to talk about it. Yeah, I came back with. I left with less birds than I showed up with.
Yeah.
So I call that a win.
Yeah. I came up with three, and I came home with seven.
The one bird is not even supposed to exist. Like, it, you know, it just was thrown in the basket. But I got some cool Turkish tumblers.
Yes.
High flyers.
What's the bird that's not supposed to exist? That's what he called them.
Yeah, I believe it's a half roller pigeon, half Modena. It's pretty cool. It flies good, but it looks like I don't know, man. It looks a lot like a king pigeon or something, but it looks like a giant roller. And I'm gonna put him in my fly pen, and I'm gonna fly that little devil, and I'm gonna see if he does anything.
Take a picture and send it to Manny Medeiros and tell him what he thinks of your giant runt you got there.
Right. What, well, you know, hey,
show quality.
Hey man, it's up there. It's over a pound for sure.
Yeah,
it's big. Yeah, I mean, like you hold it like a roller and it looks like it's gigantic. It's bigger than a homer.
Just an inflated roller. Nice.
Yeah,
that was a good time. Yeah, there was a lot of birds there, you know, some interesting breeds and stuff. I know a few people went up there and picked up some for pets. People were looking for some house pets. And, hey,
what did you bring home, Phil? You skipped over that.
Yeah.
You interrogated me, but you skipped your hoarding collection. What'd you get, bud?
I can't help it, man. I mean, it's when someone's like giving a smoking deal, like a free bird. I mean, if it's not Exorcist spinning its head around, I'm going to jump on that. So I brought some homers I was getting rid of, and I ended up coming back with one of your horseman powders that you gave me, and that's a cool looking bird. I like that. Joe hooked me up with some Egyptian Swifts, which is a breed that I've always thought would be fun to get into, because it's a flying breed, you know. I like that aspect of it, and I like the look of them. So
Phil has an affinity for ugly birds. You would look at it and go, damn, you're ugly, Phil's got it. He's all about that. It's got bug eyes, he wants it. If it's got a huge nose, got to have a pair. If
the quote-unquote uglier, the better, man. I got that mother's love eyes on these birds.
That's right. Give me an archangel, he'll take a magpie. Yep. He wants it. He's got to have a carrier, an English carrier for the nose for sure.
Yeah, I do want to get back into some magpies eventually, but that is kind of a hard breed to find. But maybe at the next swap and sell. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun, and they had a pretty good turnout, you know. So I definitely, you know, we got to walk around and talk pigeons with a lot of people. You know, they had a, we do a raffle. Our club does the poop lotto, and that's always fun. You know, the pressure on
that.
You got
to explain the poop lotto for those, yeah, for so, those people that have been living behind a rock for the last. For many years.
Yeah, so the poop lotto, everyone has a there's a board with a bunch of numbers on it. Yeah, no, there's 100, I think. And so there's a piece of paper with 100 numbers. So it's like 50, I think it's 50 cents a spot. You write your initials down by whatever number you want, and then they put the board in a little show cage, stick a pigeon in there, and whenever that pigeon does this thing and poops on it, you look down there and see what number it is, and that person gets to split the winnings with the club. So it's a good way to fundraise for the club, and it's a lot of fun to have a bunch of adults staring at a pigeon hoping that it poops on their number.
The cow poop lotto.
I know. Same. I guess I'm under a rock. How's that one work?
The cow poop lotto, they just paint up the field. Yeah. And wherever the cow poops, okay, that's who wins.
That's big time. That's a big old scale.
Big poop. I think cows poop about as often as a pigeon does.
Yeah, well, even just moving them from one cage to another, they usually get their number pretty quick, and it's got to be a healthy pigeon, you know, because if you get a sick bird in there and he sprays four numbers, that ain't no good. No one's gonna split it.
Well, no, but you got to get the ones that are pooping bright green, because that shows up like a bingo dauber. It's freaking sweet.
It's a highlighter. Yeah, that's a fun part of it, you know. And you know, we do meetings and stuff like that too. But yeah, pigeon shows are a lot of fun, guys. If you've never been to a pigeon show, find one in your area. We do word on the wire segments. You know, I try to promote any pigeon shows that are going on here in the U.S. You know, we get more submissions to put them up there on the word of the wire. But you know, anybody listening, you know, I know we got listeners all over, so submit your stuff. You guys got a show coming up. Hey. You know, we'll advertise it.
My friend Alan Weaver showed up to the Arizona Pigeon Club show.
That's right, the one and only.
Yep, and he brought me a very nice hen, a black grizzle hen, to put with my black grizzle coppered that we pulled out of the kit to stock. There you go. And he gave me a nice breeding box to go with it. What I brought home mostly was a lot of cages this time. But anyway, Alan gave me a real nice bird, so went ahead and he was looking for release baskets,
yeah,
to train his homers with. So since he hooked me up so good, I went ahead and built him a little release basket so he can take his birds out and fly them.
Very cool.
Be pretty cool.
And there was guys selling, I think Ray and his son, they had some different crates and things like that they were selling, you know, for transporting birds, and you know, whatever, you can do whatever you want with it, turn those into a release. And foul play was up there, you know, we have a vendor up there, so he's selling crates and stuff too.
I got all the random crates at the end.
Yeah, nice.
I couldn't help it. I gotta have something to carry birds with. I mean, well, I look like a joker with my milk crates showing up with, you know, cardboard strapped to the top of it, hauling my birds,
rolling up there with luggage that you take on an airplane and unzip it and let your birds out. Hey, you know, I'll drop this little secret on anybody who ever goes to a swap and sell. Okay, you ready for this? And this happens everywhere, even if you're at a pigeon show and there's this for sale area. Now, if you're going for a bird that you really want, if you know what you want and you see the bird, buy the bird. If it's a good bird, buy the bird. But if you're just going there to maybe come up on a deal,
you're the reason this happens.
If you're just waiting,
I know what you're gonna say.
If you're just going there to get a good deal, just wait to the end. You know, oh, you wouldn't believe how fast prices drop. And so when I was at the Utah show, like I said, that guy up there with the dry erase board just kept wiping it and lowering the price, wiping it and lowering the price. And by the end of it, you know, people were just like, "Hey, you know, you want that bird?" And you know, so you can come up on some deals.
I think the trick to beating Phil's system is to put up a sign that says $10 pigeons.
That's true, too, because that's my number.
That's the trick. Yeah. Put it up right next to the entrance of the show. He'll be out of money so quick, you won't believe it.
I can't pass up a $10 pigeon. Sorry. I don't even like that breed. $10? Are you kidding me?
$10? Has it got both its legs?
Right? Oh, man. That's good stuff. But come on, guys. Everybody get out there. Support whatever pigeon club you can. They're out there. They really are. Look on Facebook. There's pigeon clubs in almost every city here in the U.S. Every state has a state club almost. And, you know, obviously you guys in the UK and stuff like that, Australia, whatever. You guys are killing it with the pigeon clubs over there. So come on, people, get out there, support the hobby, join up,
and be nice to your fellow pigeon fanciers.
That's right. And remember, free birds, free good birds to the young juniors coming in. That's how you really, really get the future of the hobby going.
Free birds,
like, yep. Leonard Skinner.
Yes. Just think Leonard Skinner when you're at the pigeon show, because. Whether it's for the juniors or hanging out to the end, free birds will come around. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.